close enough, at KFUO, and has a lot of things to share about KFUO and about radio in general, as I understand, and how we can use that. So let's welcome him.
Thank you, Brad. Brad comes from a long line of radio people, right? Should know something about radio. What's the time frame? 25 till? That's kind of tough, you know, asking someone whose favorite subject is radio to confine himself to such a short period of time. When Brad first asked me, I asked if I could have 3 weeks, and he said no, one was all I could have. So I'll try to get a little bit in during the time we have today. Before I do that, it reminds me of a story I'll tell you quickly, and I know you're all looking for good stories to tell at the ladies' group. Maybe you've heard this one, but when I was a student here at the seminary, I was anxious, as some of you may be, to have the opportunity to preach. I lived in northern Wisconsin. That was my home. Was home over Christmas vacation, had an opportunity to preach at a local congregation. Actually was out in the country a ways, and I had made arrangements to spend the night close to the church, and the next morning, Sunday morning, I got up after a huge snowfall, made my way to the church and waited and waited and waited, and the service was supposed to start at 10 o'clock, and there was only one man there at 10 o'clock. And I asked him what I should do. I was anxious to proceed with the service, and he said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, I raise cattle for a living, and when only one cow shows up at feeding time, I feed it. And I took that to mean that I should go ahead, and I did. I went through the entire liturgy. I preached the entire sermon. The service took an hour, and after it was finished, I was proud of the job I had done, and I walked down the center aisle anxious to greet him and have him say something nice about what I had done. And he came up to me, and he put his arm around me. He said, son, there's one other thing I should have told you, and that's, when only one cow shows up at feeding time, I don't give them the whole load. My temptation is to give you the full load. Normally, when I have an opportunity to do this in a congregation, my wife is along, and she's accustomed to standing up after 15 minutes. She does that in church on Sunday morning, too. When my time is up, she stands up. Someone else will have to stand up in place of my wife here when my time runs out. Congregations don't have clocks on the back wall. That might be helpful to pastors, but I'll kind of watch the clock. Radio is one of a kind. Because radio is one of a kind, the ministry that we have an opportunity to engage in is one of a kind. Radio is faster than a speeding bullet, and stronger than a steaming locomotive, and radio waves can leap tall buildings in a single bound, and that's something that you can't say about newspapers and television. Try reading the newspaper on Highway 40 on your way to work in the morning or your way to the seminary. Try to watch television. Radio is fast. Radio listenership is greater than television viewership or newspaper readership. Radio is one of a kind. It has withstood the onslaughts of home hi-fi systems and CB radios and what have you. Television. In the early 50s, it was thought that radio would die because of television. It has survived. It's stronger than ever. And radio's future is very bright. It's very much a part of our lives, and it will continue to be. How many of you listened to radio during the last week? Anyone who did not listen to radio during the last week? Well, that's pretty close to the national average, which is 99% of all Americans listen to radio at some time during every week. Now, conceivably, with that statistic in mind, the church has a network whereby it could reach 99% of all Americans every week with the gospel, theoretically. The network exists. Now, in reality, that's impossible. But nevertheless, the network exists. And we can't deny it as a means of ministry in our day and age for many reasons. Think of some of the traditional means of reaching people in the past. Door knocking, which doesn't work as well as it once did. Think about the loss of status of the church and the clergy in our society today. the church no longer attracts people as it once did. The church was the center of community for social life and so forth. People came to the church. They no longer do that. Think of the locked doors. Think of apartment buildings. Think of security. Think of competition from leisure time, weekends, and so forth. Think of the many factors in our society today that are against the church, the traditional church. The church has to consider radio and other methods in our society today to reach people. It may be one of the only ways. Let me say also that it's not the best way. The best way is still one-to-one. It's still the personal contact. But realizing the society in which we live, we cannot ignore the use of radio in ministry. What about numbers, sheer numbers in our world? It took until the 1920s to reach 2 billion people in our world. We've surpassed 4 billion by the year 2000. We'll be 6 billion. More people are added to the population of our world every 2 weeks than are now members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Another reason for utilizing the mass media to reach people with the gospel message. So radio is one of a kind in reaching people. But it doesn't only reach them, it influences them. If you listen to radio, any other station but KFUO, you'll hear a lot of commercials. Advertisers don't spend money on radio commercials simply because they like to spend money on radio commercials. Radio commercials are influential. Radio is very good at influencing people. You may not realize it, but you have been influenced through radio as well as through television. Radio advertisers spend over $5,000 a minute in the United States to sell products to the listening public. Translate that into a little bigger figure for you, one that perhaps you can relate to. The Synod is about to launch a $40 million fund drive. That amount of money is spent every 11 hours. Radio advertising. And we will spend several years in our church body trying to raise that much money to carry on ministry. Radio is influential. It's very influential. The radio is a marvelous tool because of those factors, reaching people and influencing them. A marvelous tool at our disposal. And I'm a firm believer in the fact that radio is a 20th century gift from God that He expects us to use to share the good news with people. Now, that's a broad and general statement. It's one that perhaps anybody could make, but what about specifics? And I think that's what you're interested in. How about a Christian radio station? How about a radio station that could provide devotional programming, Bible study programming, sacred music, news from a religious perspective, good, wholesome entertainment, which is becoming more difficult to find in secular radio today. No commercials. What about a Christian radio station like that? Obviously, I'm describing, at least in part, KFUO. Those are some of the things that we do. And our church body, some 55 years ago, decided that it was a good idea to have a radio station to nurture people, and perhaps to use it as a tool for evangelism. A religious radio station is a good idea. We've been in the business for 55 years. We are, incidentally, the oldest religious radio station in the world. Today there are over 800 religious radio stations in the country. Religious radio has become a very popular thing in the United States. It's become very popular commercially. Commercial religious radio fares very well. Rock stations, all news stations, easy listening stations have switched to religious programming for purely economic reasons in the last decade in the United States. Religious radio is a good idea. It can be used as a tool for nurturing Christians and as a tool for evangelism. But let me ask you again, how many of you listened to KFUO during the last week? That's way above the national average. The national average for listenership among religious radio stations is between 3 and 4%. 3 and 4% of the population listens to religious radio stations. So while on the one hand it's a marvelous idea to have a religious radio station to program Bible study, devotional programs, and so forth, fact of the matter is the people that we're trying to reach for evangelism purposes are not listening to our kind of radio station or to any other religious radio station in the United States. Let's take that percentage and break it down into actual figures for KFUO for you, just to give you some idea of how many people we do have listening, even though the percentage is small. Let's say, for example, that, well, let's say that only 0.5% of the people in the listening area of KFUO listen to KFUO at any time during a given week. We are still reaching 10,000 people, 0.5% of the population. Chances are it's much higher than that. But work with that basic figure of 0.5%, and we're still carrying on a tremendous nurture ministry to a large audience, 10,000 people. That's a lot of people. There's very valid reason for having a religious radio station like KFUO for the purpose of nurture. But if we're trying to reach the masses through radio, which is something that I believe the church should also be engaged in, it's kind of the reverse of the parable of the lost coin or the lost sheep. We're reaching one and we're losing 99. And there has to be a way for the church to reach the 99. And there has to be a way for you as future pastors to utilize radio stations in your communities, not only to nurture the members of your congregation and the members of other congregations in your community, but to reach out. Well, the age-old principle applies. If they're not coming to us, then we have to go to them. What are some of the ways that we can reach the masses if they're not listening to religious radio stations or religious programs like the Lutheran Hour, which has a listenership very similar to a religious radio station listenership? 3 to 4% of the population may be attracted to that kind of program. And that's a great nurture ministry. But how do we reach the larger group? How do we get the message on the KMOXs of this world and the KSDs and KSLQs and KSHs and KDs and WRTHs and KEZKs of this world? How do we get the message on? How do we get the message out to the people who listen to those kinds of radio stations? Well, there are a number of ways that we can do it. Let me just share a few, perhaps to spark some interest on your part for the day when you will have an opportunity to be engaged in this kind of thing. Religious news is a natural. All radio stations are required by the federal government to broadcast news. And there are things that congregations are doing in all communities today that are newsworthy. And you have an opportunity to tell the general listening public, the masses, about what's happening in your congregation with well-placed news stories. And that's simply a matter of providing the radio stations with the information. You may provide them with information 10 times and they may use it only once. But it's worth it. That's a form of public relations to the masses. Name association, making your congregation better acquainted in the community. News, very important. Public affairs, the federal government requires radio stations to program public affairs programs, and those are programs that provide solutions to ascertain community problems. Every year, KFUO spends a great deal of time, as all the other stations do in the country, interviewing community leaders and, at random, people in the populace of the greater St. Louis area to find out from them what they consider to be the major problems, needs, and interests of the community. And it's been interesting in the time that I've been at KFUO the last 7 years to notice how things like family problems, problems of the elderly, are cropping up into the top 10 of major ascertained community problems. And all radio stations are required to provide solutions through their programs to these ascertained community problems. Now, the church has a lot to say about all of the problems: crime, discrimination, housing, employment, education, the breakdown of the family, and so forth and so on. The church has a lot to say. Radio stations are required to do that kind of programming. You have an opportunity as a pastor to provide resources for that kind of programming. And in the process of fulfilling the radio station's requirement to provide such programming, to share a gospel message as well. Those are standard, traditional kinds of programs that all radio stations are required to broadcast that you can become involved in. But there are others too. Drama. Radio drama, of course, in the early days of radio, radio drama was very prevalent. In recent years, there seems to have been a resurgence in radio drama. And it seems to me that the church could reach a larger audience than that 3 to 4% through the production and distribution of well-done drama programs fashioned after This Is the Life, perhaps, that would attract an audience that appreciates and enjoys drama, but may in the process hear the gospel. General Mills Adventure Theater, CBS Mystery Theater, Sears Roebuck is investing a great deal of money in a new drama program that will be aired on the CBS radio network. A great deal of money is being spent for radio drama today because there is an audience. That's something that the church has not explored, but something that we might, and something that perhaps you could explore in your parish or could help to bring about on a larger scale through, for example, KFUO. Talk is another very popular thing in radio today. The all-talk format, the at-your-service format of KMOX, and so forth. You will have an opportunity at some time in your ministry to appear on such a talk program on a local radio station. Avail yourself of that opportunity and use that opportunity to express your faith and to say something about what your congregation and what your church body is doing in and for the residents of the community. And in a certain way, there's also an opportunity for the church to become involved in entertainment programming. I don't know how many of you have heard the program Joy, which we air at 12 o'clock on Sunday, at 11 o'clock on Friday. It's a sacred music program, but it's primarily music with very little talk, and it attracts a wide audience, even those who are not particularly interested in sacred music, because the music is well done and the program is well done. Sacred music programs have become quite popular because radio stations are still required to provide some religious programming, and many stations have gone to this kind of quasi-entertainment programming rather than the preaching programs. The Lutheran Hour, for example, has lost out on some stations, and the time slot has been filled with sacred music programs. We have an opportunity to speak the word through sacred music as well. Perhaps there's a good music program in your congregation, and you'll have the opportunity to utilize that on a local radio station. Finally, something that really turns me on, and that's the idea of religious spot announcements for radio. A lot can be said in a few words. The Lord's Prayer, for example, has 56 words. Declaration of Independence has 297 words. The Ten Commandments, 300 words. And a recent government order establishing the price of cabbage, 29,911 words. And you never heard about that, probably because it was so wordy. But we can say a lot in 30 seconds or 60 seconds. And many church bodies have done that. KFUO a year ago produced a set of spot announcements that it distributed, and follow-up research indicated that it has been or is currently being broadcast in 41 states, which we're happy about. But the project pointed up the need for the production of resource materials and programs for congregational use. And we at KFUO hope that that's one area we can become more involved in the future, providing resources to you when you're in the parish for you to use on your local radio station. Spot announcements, a very good way to get the word out. because radio spots will be placed at times when the listenership is greatest. We talk about Sunday morning ghetto, those of you who have been involved in radio. Listenership is very small on Sunday morning. That's when most of the religious programs are broadcast. We reach a small audience. But what about a spot announcement before the 7 o'clock news at 6:59 on Tuesday morning? Excellent. That, incidentally, is the best minute in radio, 6:59. More listeners at 6:59 in the morning than at any other time during the day. Congregations, our church body, may have to consider purchasing time on radio stations for the placement of well-done spot announcements at times when people are listening in order to get the word out. Spot announcements. As I said, something that really turns me on, and hope something that you will consider when you have an opportunity to use radio now or at some future date in your ministry. One more thing I'd like to say in the form of a challenge, and then we have a few minutes left for questions. And that is to quote from an article called Reclaiming the Airwaves, which appeared about 18 months ago, and it was an article that had to do with religious radio as it's constituted in the United States today, but this is what the author said. Trouble is brewing in religious radio gulch, and if the good guys with the white hats don't want to be run out of town, they'd better strap on their figurative six guns and make a stand. Mainline denominations have largely left religious use of the airwaves to the independents, the kooks, and the rip-off artists in Jesus-colored clothing. The bulk of religious broadcasting today is of the decidedly Jesus loves you, send in a dollar and get this genuine autographed picture variety. The Reverend Ikes of the airwaves will go on churning out their plastic Jesus religion no matter what we do, but we must decide whether they'll be the only show in town. We must decide, you must decide, whether they will be the only show in town. And they will if you don't. And I would hope that you would raise radio on your list of priorities in terms of ministry closer to the top when you have an opportunity to utilize radio to do so. Questions? Yes. Secular station. It's very helpful to know someone in the radio station. It's very helpful to know the manager, the program director. In the past, and things are changing, but in the past, radio stations and television stations have rather routinely given time to church bodies, independent religious organizations, for the broadcast of religious programs. And it's logged as public service time, which is something that all radio and television stations are required to provide, public service programming. Religious programming has been considered public service programming, and they've set a certain amount of time aside. Now, Pastor Bertram was lucky enough to be in perhaps on the ground level or at a point where one program went off the air that he was able to place his program in that time slot. But rapidly, things are changing in radio. The government is allowing radio stations to exercise more discretion in the kind of programming that they put on the air. And many stations are going to a sacred music format rather than a preaching format, or public service programs that are not religious at all, but are logged as public service programming. And the time is coming when the church will have to consider investing the money necessary to buy the time on radio stations for the broadcast of its programs. We're kind of in a transition period. Many stations in rural communities still provide free time to congregations for religious programs. In the metropolitan areas, that's not true anymore. And in the future, it may become more difficult because of the talk of deregulation in the broadcast industry. And something came across my desk this morning from the Federal Communications Commission, a proposal to deregulate radio. A recent deregulation bill in the Congress failed, but within the next decade, I'm sure, radio will be deregulated much the way as other organizations have been deregulated, okay? So that the federal government will no longer tell radio stations what they have to do. They will be able to do whatever they want. And at that point, the church is going to lose out unless it's willing to produce quality programs and buy the time necessary to broadcast them. Yeah. Okay, let me talk a little bit about KFUO FM if I can. KFUO has two radio stations, an AM station and an FM station. And from the very beginning, there were two things that we did well in radio and that the founders of the radio station felt were necessary. One was religious programming, the other was classical music programming. Classical music because it's very compatible with religious programming. Much of classical music was composed for use in the church because it's a higher form of entertainment, cultural enrichment, and because it reaches a very unique audience. What we try to do with KFUO FM is to attract a classical music audience for the sake of the classical music, and in the process, to introduce them to the church and to the gospel through short religious programs and spot announcements. We're realistic enough to know that if we put lengthy religious preaching Bible study programs on FM, that 3-4% again of the population would listen. We're reaching an entirely different audience with classical music than we are with the religious programming on AM, but no one can listen to KFUO FM for any length of time without realizing that the radio station is owned by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that it's providing classical music as a community service, and that we have a commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I attended a National Association of Broadcasters meeting several weeks ago and met with some classical music broadcasters at that time. And one of them came up to me afterward and said, "I think it's absolutely amazing that a church body would operate a radio station that programs classical music, that a church body would think enough of its community to provide that kind of entertainment." That's an example of the kind of reaction that we get. And that's a positive public relations image for the church body to convey to the public. And that's what we're trying to do. A small percentage of the population, because a small percentage of the population appreciates classical music, but we really don't have the option of competing in rock, because we couldn't take the content of rock, or all news, because we don't have the budget for that kind of thing, or any of the other formats available in radio today. Could we compete for an audience? But we can in classical music, and we do. And what are the figures? Our estimates, based on percentages from across the country among classical music stations, which we feel are applicable here too, ranges from 60 to 100,000 people that listen in any given week. 60 to 100,000 people. That's quite an outreach. Brad, did you have a question? In terms of public service announcements, and if your religious spot announcements are categorized as public service, they will be placed at the discretion of the radio station, and they may appear at 3 o'clock in the morning. But if you are willing to invest some money, you can choose the time that the announcements are broadcast. You can buy that 6:59 a.m. slot for your spot announcement. It may cost you a little bit, but you're going to reach a very large audience. Again, advertisers don't spend the kind of money that they spend simply because they want to. They do because they're reaching a large audience and because their spots have an impact on that audience. And I think we can say the same thing about our message, our product, which of course is the best product in the world. Well, I realize we're over time. Can we go on as long as people can stay, or do we have to cut it off? What's the procedure? Okay, there's one thing quickly I would like to say before the rest of you leave, and that is that I feel very strongly that KFUO is not being utilized to the extent it should be utilized by the seminary, and that the students and faculty at Concordia Seminary could utilize KFUO to a greater extent than they are for the purpose of instructing you in the use of radio, but also for the purpose of providing programming for KFUO, which would lead to increased religious programming and decreased classical music programming, at least on the AM station. Now, I've explored with the administration here, the faculty, many times in the last few years, possibilities for involving students at the seminary in work at KFUO and involving KFUO in the curriculum at Concordia Seminary. And I realize that there's an awful lot that you fellows have to learn in the process of your seminary education, and it's hard to keep adding things on. But it seems to me that with a little bit of student pressure, perhaps we can find a way to engage those of you, at least on the student body, who are interested in radio and learning more about it, involve you at KFUO and involve you in not only learning about radio, but producing programs that could be broadcast on KFUO. And I'm not really prepared to suggest a specific proposal for you, but I'd be delighted to hear from any of you who are interested in making use of that building down at the other end of the lane, so conveniently situated on the campus of this seminary, for training in radio ministry and for learning more about radio in your curriculum here at the seminary. Okay, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.